Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
It's hard to believe that I was in that room where you are right now just a week ago, even less than a week ago.
That's true. That's true. Just a matter of days ago.
But I'm not there now.
Not that I know of. That would be creepy.
And you know what else isn't there?
Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. Let's rub this in. It's great.
Your iPhone 10.
It's on a truck. So this could be worse.
It could be on a boat.
This is the point where you say in the Indiana Jones voice, "What truck?
What truck?" You know, that's true. They put it on a truck. They're sending it back to Cairo. That may happen to your iPhone.
No, God, let's hope not. It hasn't been to Cairo yet, as far as I'm aware. It's getting farther away, according to this map,
so
that's even better. You know, it's terrible that they added this feature where you can look at where your truck is on a map, because it actually is, A, not useful, because the route that they take is so circuitous and non-straightforward that you could have it be within feet of you and not get it delivered. And so what it just does is makes you refresh the stupid map over and over again and curse at it and say, why are you not delivering this package? So there's really no actual utility to it, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
it doesn't have like a router or anything in it. It's just like, oh, there's a truck. There's my house. Okay. Gotcha.
Six Color subscriber Ben Peacock posted a map in the Six Color subscriber Slack, which... people who listen to this podcast who don't know that it exists, you can go to memberslack.sixcolors.com and you get an invite and you can go in and talk with other people about, you know, tech stuff. Ben Peacock's got a map of like where his truck went, because he followed it at one point and then it literally went through his neighborhood and did not give him his package. And there's many, many questions about what sort of trolling behavior leads to that.
Right. Is it spelling something? Is it just trying to find a way to taunt you? Is it a spiral? The only logical conclusion I can draw is that the way the trucks are packed means that even if they drive past your house, like, they can't get to your phone, or it's not, you know, far be it for me, you know, UPS is a giant company. They handle a lot of logistics. They, I'm sure, know how to optimize their deliveries better than I do. But I only have two data points. One is the truck and one is my house, and they're not near each other.
I've discovered in the last few months that, you know, we like to think about logistics as being a little more together than it necessarily is. Like, it's not always... I ordered something from Amazon, and I think this was during the... I think maybe it was the forest fire, or the, you know, the fires that are quite kind of 50 miles north of where I live. And it was a, you know, 2-day Amazon, you'll get it Friday or you'll get it Thursday. And then on Friday it was like, you didn't get it. And then it came Saturday. And it was just one of those things that I've had that occasionally where it's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be delivered today.
I've had the opposite, too. I've had it show up earlier than expected. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. It's frustrating, but it's also, you know,
I've good
nothing
news
you can do about it
for you, Dan, though. Very good news for you. Another Slack that we're both in, the Relay Slack, gives me this information, which is, if you were to get your iPhone 10,
you probably couldn't activate it.
Because people are waiting for their phones to activate. Activation, which I think is the worst thing ever, because it's like, it's my phone, just let it work. And they're like, nope, you don't get to work until we talk to the carrier and make sure that you've been good.
I mean, there's a rationale, I assume, behind that, too.
I know there's a rationale.
Yeah, I know, it's frustrating,
but
right?
But it's like, still my phone, and I have it. Yeah, and do your... either, you know, and if you're going to demand that I do this before I start using it, you better be able to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe it's somebody trying to activate those, like, 400 iPhones they stole.
Stole out of the Apple store, and... or it wasn't...
They took out a truck.
That was the brilliance of it, is the UPS truck for that day's iPhone 10 delivery was outside the Apple store at Stonestown in San Francisco, and they robbed the UPS truck that was right outside. Like, as in the process of delivering it, they robbed the truck.
I will just point out that maybe truth is closer to fiction than we like to admit, because all those truck heists on Arrow show us that people do just rob trucks all the time, right?
Sure. Yeah, you gotta have a truck heist.
Gotta have a truck heist.
Truck heists make the world go round.
Well, yeah. Apparently. They definitely, I guess, end up with lots of Apple phones. So, anyway, I'm sitting here. I'm trying to figure out whether or not this will... I have to leave the house this evening. And I'm trying to figure out whether or not it will arrive before I have to do so. My UPS truck usually comes on the quite late side, like 7 or 8 o'clock. And so when I got the thing saying, oh, it'll be delivered by 3, I was like, oh, well, that's a little earlier. But it happens, especially on days where there's high volume. Maybe they are changing their routes or whatever. Totally fine. Of course, did not show up by 3 o'clock. And now when I got a DM after complaining about it, I didn't even mention, or I didn't even like tag UPS, but I got a DM from their customer service department, and, they took my tracking number and looked it up, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's still on schedule by the end of the day, and it's typically by 7 o'clock. And I was like, well, I gotta leave here by like 6. So we'll see if they make that window. Otherwise I guess I print out, like, there is a signing authorization, I think, you can do, where you can, like, sign a piece of paper, like, sign a form and leave it on your door, and they'll, like, supposedly leave it without requiring your signature. You know what, though? Really makes you reconsider that whole Amazon key, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
This is exactly what I thought of when people were talking about that, was like, yeah, in circumstances where... you know, you're getting a package delivered and you have to sign for it, it would be convenient if they could just be like, yeah, let me just open your door and throw it in. Done. Of course, that won't work with an iPhone because it's Amazon.
Well, right. But, unless you order your iPhone from Amazon, which you can't yet.
Right. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun day, but people get frustrated too. But people are excited. I've seen a lot of people who are very excited that they've gotten their iPhone XS. I've seen a lot of Animoji things. It's going to be a hail of Animoji for the next few weeks. Yeah. I was very impressed. I saw an Animoji karaoke that was like 2 minutes long. And just to be clear, you can only record 10 seconds of Animoji.
Oh, really? Okay. I guess, limited.
Actually, no, that's not true. Because you know what you do is you do a screen recording.
Oh,
and then you can record the whole thing,
the preview,
and then sync it later. But that must be it, because I was looking for like where did they do the edits after every 10 seconds. But yeah, you could just do a screen recording and do it that way, and then you could do an entire. There are going to be epic films done entirely, like classic movie dialogue back and forth between different Animojis. It's going to happen. If it has not happened already, it will happen in the next couple of weeks. The internet will wring out every last little bit of fun from the Animoji washcloth, and it won't take very long for it to be completely squeezed dry.
Well, on the upside, I mean, nobody ever did like really extensive heartbeat recordings from their Apple Watch. So, you know,
it's true. We're finally.
I guess that's for the best.
Yeah. So when I left, I left your house. Let me back up. So we had a nice visit. We recorded a podcast, Total Party Kill, live.
Recorded several podcasts.
We played some games. And then on Sunday night, I went to bed. Came back to your place late. In the rain. Rain's pouring down. And I realize I've got 2 podcasts to post from other people. So I sit there in your living room. I turn on the World Series with volume down fairly low. I didn't want to disturb you too much. And had the World Series on while I was posting podcasts on my iPad. And of course, that was game 5 of the World Series, which is totally a bananas game. And it kept it going back and forth. And I was done posting my podcast and the game was still going on. It was like the 9th inning at that point. So I went and I put my iPad on your desk with World Series on it. And I started to I blew up the air mattress and I started packing my suitcase because I had an early morning flight. And I did all of that. I'm finally ready to go. And the Dodgers make a comeback and it goes to extra innings. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is going to go on forever. And in fact, I'm starting to get really tired too. And it's like, it was about 1 a.m. And I'm just laying there sort of listening to the TV broadcast and then occasionally glancing over. And then there's a ball hit foul, almost a home run, but it was foul. And that wakes me up enough that I sit there and look and I watch the Astros win the game. It's great. And I turn it off and I go to bed. But I had to get up. My alarm was set for 5:30 a.m. So I got 4-ish hours of sleep, which is not nothing, but it wasn't great.
Yeah. Well, I thought of you the next morning because I woke up and I turned the radio on to catch the news, as I often do in the morning, and they mentioned the game went long. I thought to myself, because my girlfriend had walked out and come back and be like, oh, Jason's watching the World Series.
I know she went by in the background, but you know, and she was just like, good night. And I was like, okay, sorry, I didn't want to disturb you. I hope I didn't disturb you.
Not a problem, but like, all right. It was funny because I woke up the next morning and thinking, oh my God, how late was Jason up before? Because I knew you had to leave quite early in the morning.
Yeah, so I got about 4 hours of sleep, but that's okay. So get up 5:30 in the morning, take a shower, brush my teeth, call a Lyft. Lyft driver takes me to Logan Airport. I get there with plenty of time to the new crappy gate that Virgin and Alaska are in at Logan, which is even worse, impossibly worse than the old one.
Indeed. Welcome.
Yeah. And I get on my flight, and there was concern about like the rain and the wind and all of that, but it was actually, it had cleared up enough that it wasn't raining, it wasn't windy.
Yeah, you got a nice little escape window there.
Yeah, because apparently the wind picked up later. So
it got worse again.
So it was good. So we get back and we land at SFO at like 11:20, something like that. So I take the shuttle bus to the parking lot I park in, get my car, and of course, what do? I go the wrong way because I go south on 280 instead of north on 280 to go home, because I'm going to Cupertino because I had a 1:30 briefing to pick up the iPhone 10, which I knew, and we had this whole thing where people were like, oh, it's a conspiracy. Jason and Mike aren't doing upgrade because Jason's going to get an iPhone 10 and there's an embargo, which was, turns out that was accurate, but not true. We had actually delayed upgrade till Tuesday because I was going to be on a plane. And so we were just going to do it on Tuesday. And that was already set. But as it turned out, then Apple called and said, we want to give you an iPhone for review. We're going to give it to you at 1:30. So I went down there, had a nice lunch, like I had a sandwich. There's a great sandwich place that's not far from Apple. It's right across the street from where our friend Dan Frakes lives, and he introduced me to it. It's like, it's a really good hot roast beef sandwich. So I go there, get that, getting back in the car. I'm also killing time because like I have this amount of time that I have to wait for my briefing to come up. And then I finally get to Apple, get the briefing, and they're like, oh, thanks for, you know, thanks for coming in. The guy I got the briefing with is a reporter at KTLA in LA, and they're like, thanks for flying up. And and you know, I'm like, well, I flew way further than he did. I've been up a very long time already. I get the phone, I drive home. Finally, I'm home. It's like, I don't know, 3:00 in the afternoon. And I have, from that point, I have about 12 hours to do everything I'm going to do with the iPhone 10, because the embargo time this time was 6 a.m. Eastern. It used to be 6 a.m. Pacific. Now it's 6 a.m. Eastern. So my embargo was 3 a.m. So now let's keep in mind, I've been up since 2:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's a long
Pacific
day.
And yeah, that's what I did. So I spent the afternoon using the iPhone. I spent the evening writing my story. I spent what comes next, the midnight hour, making a little like 90-second video. And I was basically done at about 2:15, something like that. And I was thinking, well, now what? Like, I could have had it all go up automatically. It was scheduled for 3 a.m. The YouTube video is scheduled because you can schedule YouTube videos now. The post was scheduled. But I also thought like, yeah, but I needed to post, and then I need to tweet about it, and I need to like do some of that initial response stuff. So I ended up getting into bed. I like brushed my teeth and all those things and getting into bed, and then just sitting there with my iPad for the last like 15 minutes waiting for the embargo to release, waiting for the stuff to go up. I posted my tweets and all of that. And then I did post that fateful final tweet, which was, hey, if you find any typos, Dan will be up in an hour or two. So tell Dan. And that totally happened. That there was one.
Oh, yeah.
I switched the apertures of the two cameras, and like five people tweeted about it. But one of them had seen my talk to Dan, and you took care of it and I was sleeping. So then I finally got to bed after 25 hours, and I had previously made a doctor's appointment for 8 a.m. So I had to get back up at 7:30 and go to that. And it took me a couple of days. I would say I'm recovered now, but it took me a couple of days of extra sleep to get to the point. Halloween night, that night, I was just not with it. I was not capable of interacting with human beings, which is bad when there are 100 kids coming to your door asking for candy. I would have made a good zombie, though.
Yeah, you should have just rolled
it. iPhone 10.
Oh, it's the house Brains. That's giving out iPhone 10s. Everybody loves that house.
We did have an iPad. Some years we've had an iPhone as a costume, but we did have an iPad this year with a strangely square screen and Google Maps instead of Apple Maps, which was a nice burn. Ooh.
Unreleased prototype.
And an Instagram app, which is funny because, of course, again, a nice burn that they didn't intend because there's no Instagram app for iPad. You have to run the iPhone app.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're really on top of things in the Bay Area.
Yeah, super techie here. What can I say?
Incisive.
Well, the best thing, and I posted a picture of this, is that one of the houses across the street was Jurassic Park.
And they had the
gate with the sign. It was amazing. They did a great job.
You had described that to us while you were here, and then I saw the picture you posted of it, and we were very duly impressed.
Yeah, that was serious. And there was a guy standing outside who's dressed up as a guy riding a dinosaur. So he had like the fake legs going over the dinosaur, and then he was in the dinosaur legs, and it looked great. That was my picture that I took because I thought that was super hilarious. But those people, they were Hogwarts last year.
Wow.
And they did a great job with that. They go all out. You know what I did for our house for Halloween, Dan? I took the smart light bulb and I made it orange.
Oh, I will say, okay, so what I did, it was also, so at 4 o'clock or so, after running around a little bit in the morning, I found a pumpkin suitable for carving, and I carved a pumpkin in like an hour, you know, like at 4 o'clock on Halloween, and put that in the window, which was good. But I did find... I was like, oh yeah, we have all the smart lights. And so this gets interesting because, so what I noticed was that the Google Home had a thing where you could say, like, let's get spooky, and it would play a creepy soundtrack, and it would flash your lights different colors, which was pretty cool. But my office only had one colored light in it. And so the other two lights would just, you know, occasionally like dim or blink off or something like that. So I was like, oh, this isn't very, very spooky, at least not from outside. And so, I thought, oh, you know what I'll do is I'll move my other two, I'll swap my lights. I'll move the colored lights from the living room into the office. And so I did that, and I put my, you know, dimmable white smart lights in the living room. Fine. And I do the spooky thing. I was like, oh, this is pretty good, but it's not my favorite like light pattern. It still turns like white at a lot of times, which is kind of weird. So I happened to open up. I remembered that one of the third party smart home things I like is called iConnect Hue. And it's basically like a third-party app for controlling Hue lights and smart bulbs. And it has built-in animation routines where you can basically just say, do this, and it will like do a loop of different colors and flashing effects and stuff like that. And they have a whole bunch of Halloween routines available for free. And they're like between, you know, 7 and 17 seconds of just... looping, you know, flashing light, creepy light patterns or whatever. And so I just turned a couple of those on and would switch it every once in a while. And it was pretty cool. However, since I switched the bulbs from room to room, I have had a lot of trouble with smart home apps trying to figure out which bulbs are where. Because I changed the names and stuff to like to the respective, you know, same things that they had been named, but I essentially swapped the bulbs and changed the names. And some of the things, some of the smart home devices are really upset. The switch I use, which is like a Hue dimmer switch in my living room, two of the buttons just don't seem to work with HomeKit now. Like you'll press a button and it will show you in the Home app like, oh yeah, I notice you've pressed that button. And I will test the automation associated with that button and the automation will work fine and it knows I'm pressing the button, but you press the button and nothing happens. And it's like, what is going on? And like two of the buttons work fine and two of the buttons don't work. Why? No clue.
No idea.
So I basically had to kick it back to the Hue app instead of using it in the Home app. And it seems to work fine there. So it's not like a hardware problem. It's clearly an Apple related, you know, HomeKit problem. And I have no idea. I had a couple other things where I had to like rewire a bunch of you know, automations and routines and stuff, because like, even though I changed the bulbs to the same name, obviously what they're using to associate is not the name, but some sort of built-in ID, I'm sure. And so that reminded me of how annoying home automation stuff can be, because once you've got it all set up just right, as soon as you make some changes or decide you want to configure things a different way, it ends up being insanely complicated. So I'm glad that I had like a nice spooky Halloween setup and everything, but at the same time, I'm still feeling the fallout from that like several days later.
Well, my story of visiting you is that I mentioned that the first night that I slept in your, you know, office on the floor on the blow up mattress, the light came on at 8 a.m. And which, you know, I was jet lagged and all that. So I was awake already, but I did notice that it came on. You're like, oh, well, I'll fix that. I'll set it to later. So you're like, okay, now it's going to come on at 9 a.m. And it came on at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like, what is... And you're like, I don't know what's going on. Because
I think ultimately, what it is that I have a motion sensor, and it's designed because, as I explained to you, it's also a light sensor and a temperature sensor.
Yeah, right.
Which
you
is
wrote
cool.
an article about this.
Yeah, I wrote something about
it's
this.
It's a great idea, but
it really doesn't work. It's really the software. The hardware is fine. It can totally feed you information, but the software rules based on that information are lackluster at best. And so... I think I've discovered that in situations where that happens, what I really need to do is like just turn the motion sensor off, essentially, and then it's fine. But even like last night, we were watching a movie, and I was like, oh, I'll dim all the lights. So I dimmed the lights in the living room, and I dimmed the lights in the office. And then like 5 minutes after I dimmed the light in the office, it like goes back up to full power again. And I was like, oh, this is so irritating. So I turned the motion sensor off and dim the light again. So yeah, smart home stuff. Still in its early phases, there's neat stuff you can do, but there's also, it is, you know, as my girlfriend famously said, after I like put smart bulbs in the lamps in our bedroom and then got like one of those Hue switches, she's like, congratulations, you've reinvented the light switch.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's kind of true.
Yeah, although you've got a switch at a place, you know, that's turning on lights that otherwise you wouldn't be able to do that, right? Because the light switch is wired the way it's wired and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean... You know, it's one of those technologies I find interesting. To a certain extent, I embrace it, but I also am acutely aware of the limitations.
The related to that, I have mentioned before and written about the fact that I got some of these Casita wireless switches from Lutron that are they're light switches. They're not smart bulbs or something. They're light switches. You wire them in, but the switch itself is connected. And so then, and they work with HomeKit, and there's a bridge for the Casita wireless, but it means that I have now two of my light switches are themselves on HomeKit, which is great. And I have thought about buying more. I think in practical terms, I'm not sure whether I need any level of automation beyond the two sets that I've got, but I could do it now, which is kind of cool. So that's great. But it turns out that as excited as I am that I've got these things scheduled, and one of the things I've got is we used to leave the living room lights on sometimes because we would dim them, but they'd still be on, and then we'd go to bed, and I'd wake up at 2 in the morning and be like, why is there light from the living room? It turns out we had forgotten to turn them off. So I have a schedule on the living room lights that at midnight, it just turns them off. And of course, if you're sitting there at midnight, the lights go off, but nobody is sitting there at midnight, and it means that they stay off, which is nice. It's good. So, because I was waking up in the middle of the night and getting up and turning them off. What I hadn't thought, because I'm like, yay, computers, HomeKit, it's going to be great, is the Casita wireless light came, one of the packs came with a remote. And the way they build it is kind of weird. It's actually built where you can get a frame for it and like put it on the wall and with a plate, and it looks like a light switch, but it's actually just a remote on the wall. Which I kind of like, right? It's like, well, you invented the light switch. It's like, well, now you could just make a light switch anywhere in your house just by sticking this thing on.
Yeah, that's my Hue dimmer is like that. It's like a magnet plate, and then you can actually take the control part off of it, and it's like it's a standalone remote, which is kind of cool.
I haven't done that, but what I do have is I have that remote sitting on our coffee table, and that has turned out to be the best thing about the entire thing. Like, yeah, I can do HomeKit and stuff like that, but especially for Lauren, she was always frustrated, like, I want to make the lights a little bit dimmer, and you know, then your eyes adjust. So it's like, oh, we're gonna watch some TV. We're gonna dim the lights. You go over, you dim the lights. You come back, you watch a little TV, and then like 10 minutes in, you're like, yeah, the lights should be a little bit dimmer. And you get back up, you pause the TV, you go over, you make them a little bit dimmer. And now we got that remote. It is the best because you just sit there and you're like, oh, a little dimmer, a little dimmer. And yeah, you could do it on your phone. You could do it with HomeKit.
And I
that
do sometimes.
Remote does the yeah. trick.
Yeah, it's nice. There are some advantages, and they're not like. It's not the kind of thing that necessarily is going to totally reinvent your world, but they're nice touches that feel like, oh yeah, why isn't this a thing that should be popular?
Yeah.
Or, you know, powerful enough to do these kinds of things. So.
And I thought about like other lights in the house, but it's one of those things that like, those are the lights that we need the remote for. The rest of them, it's kind of not that. One of these days I will put more in when I feel like I've got a better handle on like scenes and kicking off different scenes from different right. devices. So that one day maybe I can say, you know, let's get into TV mode and certain lights go on and certain yeah. lights go off, but it's going to be a while before I'm at that point.
I'm with you. I've played around with that and, or thought about like really syncing it up, but it is still so finicky just in terms of yeah. like setting that up. It's like, oh, I've got to figure out how to get everything at the perfect right level so I can define this scene. Then I have to do the work of associating it with this activity. And it's still on the messy side.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah.
But so, not.
And
not
plus
yet.
when Apple's HomeKit stuff can't even be bothered to work correctly, it's like, why would I invest the time in this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I had hoped we would have one of those moments like when I called you at the Apple store where suddenly magically your phone would show up and the Secret Podcast listeners would get to hear it. But
my phone is now at the mall, which is much farther away than it was when we started this podcast. I think
good.
It's actually at the Somerville District Courthouse. I don't know why.
Your phone is on trial.
Weird. My phone is on trial for being late. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, it was a pleasure to do the podcast last week in person, but you know, it's a pleasure to do it even now that we're far off across the Indeed. Country from each other. Wow. And thanks to everybody for subscribing to Six Colors. We appreciate it. That's it. Bye, Dan. Good luck.
Bye, Jason. If you never hear from me again, it's because my phone never arrived and I'm stuck forever in an abyss of questioning myself.
Good talk.
The end.